Hi.
Hello.
I'm Alexis Hyde.
I'm Erica Wong.
And this is Hyde or Practice. This week, y'all, it's me and Erica, and we're gonna take on a some hot takes, I think. So it's a controversial topic in some circles, especially in the United States, because funding is terrible and student loans are predatory. MFAs, do you need one? Why would you, what happens if you get one? Are they helpful? Are they not? Are they only taking your money? Are they just, and your spirit, maybe your soul? I don't know. I don't have one, but Erica does. Erica, let's talk about MFAs.
Okay, I can tell you my story.
Okay. Yeah, tell
Okay.
me your story. Where, first of all, where did you get your MFA from?
I got it from a place called Central St. Martin's, in
Oh
England.
my God. Which, in case y'all don't know, is the schmanciest place in the world. It's the kind of thing like you drop that in conversation, and people are like, oh. Like, I mean, like ears perk up, mouths start salivating. Central St. Martin's is fancy. Sorry, Erica,
I hope people
continue.
can. No one can see my face, but like the awkwardness of
It's
that,
true though. Don't pretend like it's not true.
like real. So this is sort of what happened with me. I finished my undergrad in 2008, and
Incredible time.
it was,
Incredible timing.
yeah. So my dad was like, "You cannot come and like start working because no one's gonna hire you. You have no experience. You study fine art. Like, what kind of a job are you gonna get?" And
Also,
so,
just to context that again, as somebody who had been working for multiple years by 2008, yeah, that's true. Your dad was right. Nobody was
but
hiring.
like I couldn't. I didn't. I literally had zero. I mean, like I had done Windows up to that
Right.
point, but I was like 22.
But
Like,
also, like, stores weren't hiring because stores were
yeah, like no, nobody
closing.
was hiring, right? So. If people don't know what happened in 2008, basically the
Woo!
American market basically like blew up, because Lehman Brothers went bust, they went bankrupt. Just there was a whole lot of economic and financial downturn that happened, and then actually to this day we're still experiencing a lot of ramifications.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's what happened. I graduated in April, when Lehman just went bust. And so I think my dad was like, I don't know what you're gonna do with yourself, but like basically you need to figure it out like quickly. And so this is one thing that happens uniquely maybe at where I went and did my undergrad, is that they just push you out and you're done and it's over. There's nothing, like you're just out full stop. Like there's nothing more that you do. And so you're very confused with what's happened within your life because you're so young.
Yeah.
So then my mom was like, "Okay, well, why don't you go and look at London because you just finished your undergrad?" And so I was like, "Okay." And then I went and scheduled an interview at St. Martin's, and I went and I had an interview, not really thinking that I was applying to the program, and then she accepted me. And then I had to go and write my application. It was a very backwards
It's
experience.
very
Anyway,
backwards.
so I got into this program. But actually, I didn't realize that this was what you were supposed to do. Like everybody else, I knew people who were graduating with me were applying to grad schools, like at UC Irvine or UC Riverside, or if they wanted to, I think everyone was trying to see whether they would get into UCLA or USC. But it never occurred to my mind that that was the trajectory. So anyway, so then I got in, and then I just thought, well, I can't go and get a job because I have no experience. So then I guess I'm gonna go and do grad school. And then that was it. I went and did grad school. I just moved halfway around the world, and then I went and did grad school.
That was
It
that.
wasn't planned. It wasn't, I didn't actually know.
Yeah. I love that kind of backwardsness of it. I mean, it's not fitting for artists to kind of are like, all right, like what's like the next step? Because there isn't like a roadmap necessarily that anyone gives you. And it's like, oh, like as opposed to, you graduate school with your, business degree and you go become a consultant at like KPMG, where it's like, oh, these are the routes you take when like other majors arts not really they don't really do that a lot.
I have to say that
And
my cohort, everybody did seem to know that they were doing that. They were like writing applications for months and months and months. And I just would go into class and be like, blah, blah, and I'd be so stressed out. And I was like, what is happening here?
Erica was living a blissful life, not knowing that this is what everyone else was doing. I also like that. Were they pissed when they found out because you didn't care and you just got that?
I don't, quite frankly, I don't actually think anyone cares.
I would care. I would have been so mad because I would have been like, I've been working on these applications for 6 months. And then Erica just going waltzes into an interview and she gets into Central Saint Martins.
Also, we were done by then. You know, like
Yeah.
the people that I was in my like I wasn't ever gonna see people ever again. Like ever for the rest of my life, ever gonna see people ever again. So
You
it's I
say that
don't
tomorrow, you're going to run into somebody from Art Center.
so it wouldn't I don't think it would have made a difference anyway, whether I did or I didn't.
Yeah. Do you think that it was helpful for your practice for your art and like developing it further?
Okay, to be perfectly honest, probably in my 20s, I would be like, no.
You're right.
Because you don't really understand in a much larger context as to why that's important.
Right.
I think probably the biggest benefit that I got from it was moving to England.
Yeah.
That probably to me is the most defining, useful thing that happened was that I picked up and I moved halfway around the world to go experience a completely different society. And then understanding that different art worlds actually people you can open doors for yourself. So I would say that is much easier, say, in London and in Hong Kong versus in the US.
Yeah.
That's just my experience. I find that you can actually knock on doors in London and people will be somewhat responsive because there's so many art school kids and design kids and fashion kids that like it's very common,
Yeah.
and it's integrated into society. Whereas, if I had stayed in LA, I don't know what would have happened, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that that's a really good point. And I think that's like my number one takeaway from everybody I know who like has gone to grad school and the various successes and failures thereof. I feel like grad school and honestly, even like college is wasted on the young, like so many, like youth itself, because you don't have the maturity to understand what it is that you're getting and how and why and like how that will actually fit into your life. And looking back on it, it's obviously hindsight's 2020, but you see and you're like, oh, this would have been, I had this incredible opportunity to do this class or take with this teacher, and like you just don't know because you don't know, you don't
The
have any
difference.
comparison. Exactly. And I think that like that's my number one advice, I think, for people who are going to use an MFA. Like if you're gonna spend the money, it is absolutely a tool and you have to use it. It's not like an automatic anything. It doesn't automatically get you into Zwirn. It doesn't automatically get you in front of, all of like the museum acquisition people. It doesn't automatically do anything. And you have to work for it and you have to see these opportunities for what they are. And that's really, really hard when you don't have comparisons and when you're 21. And I think that's also why, if anybody's listening who's like a little bit older and thinking about going back, I think that's why a lot of people do go back and get their MFAs later. And I think are more successful with it because, or their, grad degrees in general. Everybody I know who's gotten like a, and I think like even like law schools, I think prefer you to have like have time off before you go to law school because the teachers and the departments understand that you have perspective. And you actually know what you're getting into and you know why you're getting into it. And it's not just like you've been like swept in with a wave of just academia.
I also think that if we follow the traditional path, like the career trajectory, is you want, like in the 70s, getting your MFA equates to you will have a steady job, meaning that you will
Right.
teach, right?
Yeah.
The I think the outcome is very, very different from when this sort of became a really massive reason for people to become or hold a master's was because they needed to have a steady income. So you were either teaching or you were writing, probably actually all three. You were probably making work, you were writing in some sort of a publication, and then you were probably teaching and you're hobbling together to go and make ends meet. Like realistically, that was what it was. And I think that like within the last maybe 20 years or so, that's really changed, where it's no longer about whether it is that you are teaching with an MFA or not. It is just like, it's a rite of passage now because it is supposed to go and provide you with a little bit more depth. But I will say though, as a person who teaches, the differences in students massive. So right. if I have students who come directly from their undergrad into their master's versus when I'm teaching people who are in a professional master's program, wildly different people. Because you've got that experience already when you're in a professional master's. And so I would imagine it's exactly what it is that you're saying, Alexis, is that when you come back and you have that and you know how the industry works, different.
Yeah.
And I think you probably get a lot more from that rather than like myself, super confused.
Right.
And sort of not understand. You're just sort of going along for the sake of going along with it.
Yeah. And I think also like, because again, I do not have a master's. I do not intend to get a master's. But who knows? Next year could hold. So who knows what the fall holds? I could get a master's. I could do it. But no. But I think that like also, I think it's important to talk about also that like people, especially in institutions, museums, large nonprofits, large galleries, are staffed by people who also have master's and who also have like PhDs. You know, like that, because you need that to hold these jobs at these large institutions. And people who have those things value those things. And I think that, like, that's something that's because people are like, oh, like, you know, it's hard to, you know, break in if you don't have this thing. And I can say, yes, that's true. It is hard because it is. It's like a little bit of like an extra entry key of like, oh, okay, like I can talk to this person who went to MFA at Yale because I also got my MFA in the Northeast and we're going to have similar languages on how to talk to things. I know that this person can put in the work and they can show up and they can do the thing and they can defend their thesis and they can take the crits and they can, you know, I can put them in front of a collector and they're going to be able to perform in a way that I can't guarantee that's going to happen with a BFA. And you definitely can't guarantee it's going to happen if you have no education. Not saying that every master's person comes out like perfectly great, but like the chances of them being able to hold their own and talk about their work in a way that's going to be productive in an institutional setting or in a capitalist setting of a gallery is higher because the people who are putting them there are also of that league. And people like what's familiar, you know, when they know how to talk about things and they know, you know, the wildness is only in the art, or like the breaking the rules is in the art, but not in the etiquette. Not in the networking, not in the outreach, because that's all following the norms. And if you've followed the norms so far that you got your MFA and you got your PhD or, you know, whatever, then, you know, there's safety there.
You're in a crew where everyone is using exactly a very similar language. Mm-hmm. You're trained the same way. You've read the same books. You use the same language. You know very similar people in a very similar context.
Yeah.
And that sort of is what happens. I can say that even in when I was doing my master's, it would be, you've got the Goldsmiths kids that spoke a very similar language because they all went to school together. You've got the Slade kids that spoke very differently than the RCA kids versus the CSM kids. And so everyone sort of does their own thing and each school has their own brand.
Yeah.
And that's very, very different as well, because it's like the school that you come out from is through a lens that makes sense with their branding.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's also a thing that, you know, people respond to, because it's like, oh, okay, like I know the kind of caliber of artist I'm going to get out of CalArts. I know the kind of caliber artist I'm going to get with an MFA from Yale. Versus, you know, University of Texas. You know, it's just, it's, there are different tastes. You know who the deans are, you know who the teachers are, you know what kind of artists they work with, and you know what the admissions is looking for, and you know how to find, you know, some of these artists. And that's also, it's also a stamp of approval, you know, and people, it's like, okay, like it's, as much as people would love to 100% say like that they have, you know, insane confidence in their tastes, you know, it's nice to be like, oh, okay, well, if the deans at, you know, USC said that this was good, then it must be like worth looking at. And I'm going to be able to look at that and feel, you know, extra confident in my decision to take a meeting with this person, take a studio visit with this person, because they're definitely going to be worth my time because USC MFA program said that they were. And that's also, you know, definitely valuable.
Validity, legitimacy, which are like super yes. important in this industry. It's like somebody has vouched for you, and it can be really useful when you've gone to a school that has a say.
Yes.
And that's it, right? Like it right. really, I think that that's why a lot of people fight to get into these schools, not necessarily, yeah, it might have a really great program. Yeah, you might really be studying some under someone really great. But to be perfectly honest, studying under someone who's great doesn't actually come into full impact until your PhD, because yeah. people aren't going to give you that much time when you're a master's student. Like, that's just the truth. But what you get is a different type of access, because you can say that you're now in with the kids at the Slade, or you're in with the, and they're all very, very different, because you know that they produce different things. It's yes. like, it literally is not good or bad. It's like, you just read different things. You just yeah. make different things. You understand the world differently because that's just what the school has taught you. Right. So as a person who went to Art Center, it's like, my aesthetic is very, very clean, like, which makes 100% sense based on what Art Center is like. And our work ethic is like, you can see it from a mile away. Like, anyone who's gone to that school has basically the same work ethic.
Yeah.
And that's what it's known for in the industry. So you just sort of like become this mold because you've gone to this institution for an X amount of time. Like, and I think that would probably be true if you worked at a place for a very long time as well.
Yeah.
Because like, that's your boundary, right? Like, these are the things that you can do because that's what the company allows for. That's the tone. That's what you represent, and X, Y, Z.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're trained. And I think that that's, but I think also it's, if, you know, if you have to use it though, right? You can't just like have done it and then just have that be it. Like, you have to take that training and use it. And I think
that's where the gap is though. You know what I mean? It's like, what does it mean to quote unquote use it?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing that are, this is, I learned something new the other day during an interview, was that what is actionable? What is it, what are your actionable items?
Yes.
Which apparently in the creative, sorry, in life for fine artists, they might not actually know what actionable items mean,
mm-hmm.
but like, what are actionable, or what is actionable to you when you are either A, in a program, or B, you're about to get out of a program and you need to be able to go and use that name? Like, what does that mean?
Right. Exactly. What does it mean? I mean, it means to me, it means that you're, you know, you've got your MFA, UCLA studio visits, and you're talking to people who are coming through. You're taking advantage of that opportunity of, like, you know, people from outside of that world coming in. You're shaking hands, you're getting names, you're getting emails, you're setting up studio visits for like later, or like going, following up with those galleries, because that's the tool that they're giving you, right? Like, being the MFA student at Art Center, or, you know, one of these schools, and people, gallerists and collectors are coming through because they want to see, and that's something that they're giving you. Are you going to use it? If you're just going to sit there and let it happen and then not follow up and expect people to come chasing you, then you're not using it, and you're just there, and like, your art probably got better, but, and it's hard, because I don't, from what I understand, no one's explicitly telling anybody to do these things. They just put these people in front of, in these opportunities, and then it's up to the artist student to figure out what they need to take from it.
I say yes. I would say that, well, this is probably why you're so confused most of the time, because A, you're young, and two,
Right.
B, you can't put all the dots together because nobody strung any of the dots together for you to make it into a comprehensive thought.
Right.
So, like, for example, towards the very end of my undergrad, we had this class that was like, it was called like studio practice. And you were supposed to get some of like the professional practice things from this course. And one of the things was like, write a grant application. Here's a list. Well, yeah, but this was like, mind you, that this was the very last term, and the class probably had maybe 10 weeks in it. And every single week, you would do one thing and one thing only. So all like up to this point, and like I
Wait,
probably
a
was just like,
master's degree sounds amazing now. Maybe I want to take a master's.
no, this is my undergrad. And so I was like, okay. So they were like, go and research grants in LA. And like, because I make installations, I was like, what can I apply to in 2008? Like I didn't know, because it was like, again, at 22, be making installations, then you have to do your homework, when like the entire world was just like for paintings. I was like, I don't know what to do here. So then I guess like what happened was we were assigned some sort of foundation or grant that existed, and so we had to like write about it. And then the next class was you're assigned to some gallery, and then you have to drive across to wherever, by the way, because like the school
Yeah, in
and like where the
Pasadena.
galleries are like super far away.
Oh my
And
God, in
so
2008, like literally across like entire town.
you were just set up these appointments, and then you just show up. Like, but you didn't know like what you're supposed to do, because there isn't an etiquette class to go
Ahead of that,
and
right.
tell you like what are you supposed to say to gallerists. Like they're just like, okay, well, show up. And they're like, what do I do? And they're like, you've spoken to humans before. And you're like, yeah, but then I don't like, do I talk about the weather? Like, do I talk about
Yeah.
my port? Like, what do I do here? Like, I'm so confused. And so I can't even remember who I like was paired up with. So confused, so overwhelmed, just like couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do. But like also knowing that I was gonna get pushed out from art school in weeks. Like that was it.
Right.
Like this is the end, right? Like you're graduating, that's it. And then all of a sudden they give you all these classes and you're like so overwhelmed. Because you're like, why didn't you do this earlier? Or like, here, you have this like 30 minutes to write an artist statement. You're like,
Oh my
what?
God. Yeah.
So like reliving my 22-year-old self and having that class, I was just like, just fear.
Yeah.
Because you're just so overwhelmed by uncertainty, all of a sudden to realize that there's like a thousand million things that you were supposed to do,
Yeah.
but it's been condensed into like these 10 sessions.
Right. And I think again, like that goes back to like why like time off between school and school is so productive, because then you can learn these kind of weird practical lessons of like how do you talk to a stranger about work? You know, because like you have jobs and then you have to talk to strangers about work, and then you like learn how you like to, because like I can tell somebody how I like to talk to strangers about work, but that's not going to be like the right fit for like Erica to talk to strangers about work, and vice versa, because like also like our work is different, but that's besides the point. I mean, that's, but that's also the point, because every artist's work is different, so like you do have to kind of have that own experience to figure out like, okay, like this is how I do this, and this is why I'd want to follow up, and this is why it's not embarrassing to ask somebody for their email address, because everything's embarrassing when you're 21. And you know, you're just like not in like the great like mindset. And that's why I always talk, it's like all of these things are tools and they're really useful to have if you use them. And if you know how to use them, because you can have like the most powerful lathe in the world that's like the highest end thing, but if you don't know how to use a lathe, then like it's just sitting there taking up space and you just spend a lot of money on it. Like that's like literally like my equivalent of like an MFA, where it's just like, oh, okay, like yeah, cool, you've got it, but like you're not using it, you don't know how. You spend a lot of money on it. And I think that, like, and you know, and like, and they are so prohibitively expensive. And I think, again, like talking about like what it was like in the 70s, where you could an MFA, like education, especially in America, was like much more reasonably priced. And then you could get a job that would pay your life. And that's increasingly not the case now, especially I know that CalArts is like, those students are protesting quarterly about like how insane their tuition is. Every time I'm up there, they're always protesting it. And I don't blame them because I think it's really, really expensive. And but like, you know, if what are you gonna do with that? I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I mean the animation students are fine because they're all gonna get like crazy insane jobs. But like if you're a fine arts or like in theater or even music, it's really hard to find working like a paying gig.
I think there's a lot of transferable skills, but again,
Oh,
like
for
no
sure.
one,
But no one's teaching you.
but no one explains to you the value of those transferable skills. One, two,
Yeah.
also nobody tells you how to go and prove to other people that those transferable skills
Right.
is actually useful to the other person or the
Exactly.
company that you're applying to. And I
Yeah.
think that is like a really big hole in the arts and humanities when you come out from those degrees, is because do I think that they gave you an amazing base and foundation? 100%. Do I think that there are shortcomings? 100%. Because you don't know why you are of value to somebody else.
Right.
And that's very problematic
And
because
that's also a bummer too, because like not only do you not know how you're of value, like you don't even know what the values need to be. Because how can you? And then also in the same thing, and then that goes the other way too. Like say like there is a class with or like a visiting person who's going to talk about professional practices. If you don't know, you just don't know what you don't know. So like how can you know what questions to ask that person that are going to be pertinent to you later? And be able to use that as, again, a tool, you know, a resource for you, which would be like really invaluable. I mean, I have a running joke with a friend of mine who went and got her MBA like later, in her like her late 20s, that like there was this like drop-in Excel class at USC, and it was just like she's like, oh my God, I wish like we had something like that in college. And I was like, the thing is like they probably did, but we were just like, we're not going to be like nerds and take like an Excel class. And now I'm like, oh my God. I wonder what this Excel intensive has to learn. And
A
like, would this
hundred
be like really
percent.
productive for like my life?
Right.
Because like it's the same class.
No, a hundred
I've
percent.
just changed.
You exactly. So like when we were at CSM, there was this one class that was offered with LSE. And I remember seeing the pamphlet for it and thinking, ew.
Right.
But like, should I have taken that? Yes, I totally should have taken that class at London School of Economics.
Right.
And like the only person in our entire course who took it was somebody who had worked in Lacoste for 20 years.
Yeah.
And she was in marketing. She ran the marketing team of Lacoste. And she
Good
was,
Lord.
right, totally different brain than what you were doing when you had just finished your undergrad, because she saw the value in that.
Yeah.
She saw that she would be able to go and have LSE on her CV and that she would be able to go maximize that. I think like for me, I considered it, but then I think that the words LSE was so overwhelming to me.
They're so overwhelming, and you're an artist. Like, it's
So
like that's the
I
other
was
thing. It's
like,
like you want to
no.
be thinking about art and your practice and like critical theory and colors. And it's like, I don't want to be thinking about something practical like fucking capitalism and economics. Like, no, what I'm doing is more pure than that. It's more romantic than that. It's bigger than that. It's grander than that.
Turns out, not
Turns out,
really.
no, not the case. Not the case at all.
I
Absolutely not. But man, the dreams we had.
know, right? But I think it's very interesting. Like, I have another example. The other day, I was having a conversation with somebody, and she was like, I want to teach in an art school. And I was like, okay. And she teaches change management and digital transformation. So, if anyone who doesn't know what that is, change management is literally somebody who comes in and calculates efficiency on change within an organization. And digital transformation is taking processes inside organizations and digitally upgrading them. So, you are transforming something that is perhaps like you're filing in paper and you're changing that into a digital process instead. That is literally what digital transformation does.
Incredible.
Okay, so that's what she does. And she said to me, I want to go and teach in art school. And I said, okay, so what would you like to teach? And she goes, strategy. And I said, who was that for? And she goes, I don't know. And I was like, but who's going to take in strategy class in art school? And she was like, I don't know. Well, do you teach in an art school? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, what do you teach? I was like, business. But we don't call it business. It's professional practice. I also have 2 art degrees. I know what we learn in art school. Yeah. We learn philosophy and we learn materials and exploration. And you like that. If I was to go up to somebody and say, I did these 2 classes, that's just studio practice, they would be like, what is that? I'd be like, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you could like meet other artists, or you know, you sit there and like you're doing your own studio practice. Like, can you imagine? Like, somebody who's a business prof would be like, what is that?
What is that?
Like, what useless class. And like, to us, we were like, oh, this is like the best, right? Because like, I'm about to graduate and like, I'm really like in my studio practice and like doing my own thing. Different worlds.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you can find similar language. But telling me you want to take strategy class would make no sense, because it's like the only place that would make sense is in a branding class, which means that it's for a very specific type of artist doing a very specific, you can never call it strategy.
No.
Because no one's ever going to take that class ever.
No.
Right?
No.
So it's like the same thing as like that LSE thing. Like,
yeah. No, because you do. And which is funny too, because it's like you have to think about like, who's your demographic? Like, if you want to teach this class, like who's taking it? You can't just like put up a class and be like, come. Because again, just like the Excel class when I was freaking 20, I was too, you know, it was just not what I was into. And, you know, it's not what like most people are into. And I bet that they're lucky if they get like 10 people coming through. Because it just isn't sexy or interesting when you're like trying to like learn and be whatever. So I think it's funny. I think that like, especially obviously if you want to get a PhD, guys, you have to have an MFA, a master's, and whatever you're going to get your master's in. That's how that works. If you want to be a doctor like Erica Wong, which is a very incredible thing to aspire to, you do need a master's. But I do think it's really important. Just like, think about the hits that like we're talking about. Like, obviously cost is huge. What are you going to do with it? If you get these tools, will you actually use them? Because if you're not, and be realistic, you know, I was really realistic. I knew that like, I was done with school. Like after I like bashed out like my art history degree in the last like year, after I changed my majors, I was like, I need a break from school. Like maybe I'll go back later. Like there was a time when I was thinking like maybe I'll go back later, and then 2008 happened and I was like, oh, well, I'll never be able to, you know, do anything again ever. I cannot, for all the young guns who were like 8 when that happened. It was rough. It was rough and nobody was hiring. And so like, it also, you know, didn't think that like I was ever going to be able to even get a job that would help me pay off my student loans, because again, like no one was hiring. But the but
it's,
I think
like the tech layoffs right now, it's literally like that.
No, it's worse. It was worse. The tech layoffs are like all the time. I feel like this is just like a weird little correction for still went from like COVID. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not like 2008 when you would like walk down the street and all of the stores are closed and all of the restaurants are closed. Like in LA, it was, you know, all of the galleries were closing. And if they were hiring for somebody, it was like, we'll pay you $20,000 for a year. And it's like, I have to have a roof over my head, so I cannot accept that offer. Thank you, though. And then they get mad at you for not sacrificing yourself for art, which is a true story. Somebody did, when I told them I couldn't work for $25,000 a year in 2009, I believe, they were like, well, then you're never going to make it because you don't know how to sacrifice for art. And I was like, well, I think sacrificing for art and being homeless for art are 2 different things. I think that you'd like it if I came in and I was like showered. But people are crazy. But I do think that like, it's just, it's good to, I think that people, it's a thing that we see a lot of artists who are succeeding have them, but that is not the only reason that they're succeeding. Because it's like they're also using them.
Yes.
Yeah. Having an MFA and using an MFA are two different things. And that's hard. It's a very subtle difference. And again, this is what, like, I am sure anybody who's like 20 listening to this would be like, those are the same things, Alexis. And I'm like, right. But if you talk to somebody who's 30 who's listening to this, they'll be like, yep. It's just and I don't want to say that you're not mature, but it's a life experience thing. And some people are naturally really gifted at that, or they like grew up in a family that was able to explain that in a way that they were able to, you know, utilize it in a real way.
Yeah, I think it's the application of knowledge and skills. Yeah, it's the application of knowledge and skills that you've acquired in this one degree that makes sense into either your body of work or something more than that, which is some form of professional development in the art world, which is like you're really good at writing about your work. You're really good at reaching out to people and writing emails and introducing yourself to get a studio visit, or like you're good at writing grant applications, you know how to go and find them, like things like that. I think that's what we mean when we're saying that you're actually able to go and use that those yes. skills that you have acquired when you got a degree.
Can you tell which one of us is the teacher? I can tell, and it's Erica. She's better at that than I am. But it's exactly what I meant. You said it perfectly. It's almost like you're a really smart lady who's got a master's and a PhD.
I don't know. I fell down. I nosedived down my stairs the other day. So maybe not.
I also almost fell down the stairs today. So that's what happens. On those incredible notes, Erica, where can our lovely listeners find you?
You can find me at mypracticeplaybook.com. And then you can find me also on social media, The Practice Playbook.
Amazing. I'm Hide or Die everywhere. And if you are listening anywhere, you know, like, subscribe, whatever helps the algo, helps everybody, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, guys. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.